Hello and welcome back to Heard and Not Seen, a podcast from Barnardo's. This series is called Making Change, and in it, we're talking about the care system and how change can be made to it on a local level and through government and policy. In our first two episodes, we're in Plymouth, following Project Acorn, a group of care-experienced young people who are working together to find a way to tackle loneliness and isolation amongst their peers. In episode 1, we started to understand what it's like to be a young person leaving the care system. We also got a sense of why the experience of leaving care can so often leave young people feeling lonely and cut off from the rest of the world, and why tackling this loneliness and isolation amongst care-experienced young people is going to be a challenge for the group. If you haven't listened already, we suggest you go back and catch up with episode 1, so you have all the context you need to understand episode 2. So, how are these young people working with Barnardo's in Plymouth going to approach tackling loneliness and isolation? It's a big question. They're doing it using something called co-production. This means that the young people are directly involved in the designing, planning, and making decisions about the programs and activities they need. And they're doing this alongside a supporting cast of professionals, Karen and Irit, both Barnardo's staff, and Helen from Plymouth City Council, who you all met in episode 1. This is based on the idea that young people are experts when it comes to their own experience, and that this expertise should be taken seriously. The Acorn group first met in April 2021, and over the next 6 months went on to brainstorm ideas, test them, and improve further, finally reviewing the complete process in September.
Hi, I'm Rob. I'm Children's Service Manager for Plymouth Care Journey Service. And the hypothesis that we're trying to test is what young people have told us really consistently from day one, from when Care Journey started, which is that they believe that if their loneliness was reduced, if they were better connected to others, whether that's other care experienced young people, to others in their own networks or to professionals, then they feel that everything else in their life would be better. So they might be more likely to reach positive destinations. They might be more likely to enjoy employment, education or training opportunities. They might be better in terms of their emotional health and well-being. They might be more physically active, more confident, you know, doing better across all of the key outcomes that we hope to work against, basically. So because young people say this so consistently, that's what we're trying to test. Are they correct that if we address isolation and help them feel better connected, will that make a big difference long term?
So how did the group actually go about tackling the challenge?
Or something that's like something about
that,
Acorns growing up.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about, like what Karen said. It's you know, it comes something big out of something small. Mm-hmm. You got an acorn, you got a seed, technically. You know what I mean? Oak, you got oak leaves.
Sounds like an old people's home,
I
great
know,
oak.
Yeah, don't say that. Yeah.
I kind of like that it has a sense of humour.
It does.
It doesn't
like,
matter.
I love the fact that people I tolerate, I feel like that's us.
People I tolerate. That is the name that Project Acorn came up with for the summer group they ran. PIT for short. The project activities range from cooking, go-karting, movie nights and life hack sessions, all with the aim of getting care-experienced young people aged 16 to 19 to connect, widen their social network and learn life skills along the way. Deciding on this direction was neither quick nor straightforward. The process consisted of brainstorming, planning, training, learning and designing. There were difficulties, disagreements and some arguments, but they all worked together to make the youth group happen. They just needed the participants, other care-experienced young people in the area. But how do you get young people to sign up? The team tried all kinds of methods. They produced posters, making sure they appeared in the right places. They made a video promoting the group for social media. But after weeks of promotion, there was still limited interest in the group, with just 6 sign-ups. It was a summer group packed with fun activities. Why was it so hard to reach care-experienced young people? You met Irit in our last episode, the social designer and researcher from Barnardo's Innovation Lab, who is working on Project Acorn. Here, she explains the challenges of getting other care-experienced young people involved.
One of the things I've learned in the context of
recruitment or accessibility of opportunities for care experienced young people is there's a perception that recruiting care experienced young people into things is always going to be hard. And I keep on asking myself as a researcher, well, why is that? You know, is that because of the relationships that people have with professionals who are the ones that are the messengers of these opportunities? So let's say I have a terrible relationship with someone who's supporting me and they say, you should do this. I'm not going to do that. Is it because some people have got a brand association, so I'm not going to do anything that has a council brand on it? Is it that we aren't using the right platforms so that young people can find out about stuff? Is it that staff are feeling so run down and so left out of the fun that they don't want to engage in this stuff? When it comes to recruiting, we can't contact anyone directly, any young people directly. So we don't have anyone's contact details. So every single young person we reach has been reached through someone else. And so the way it works is we say, hey, we got an opportunity, professional over here or care over here or whatever. Let that young person know, please. They have to decide to let them know, tell them, get their consent for them to contact us or for us to contact them. And then we go forward. So there's about 3 or 4 steps before we even talk to that young person. So it's a very convoluted, long-winded process. I think one of the reasons why there's just so little young people engaging.
Not once to be put off by the challenge of drumming up support, the young people instead plucked up the courage to speak to the local council on a 30-person-wide Zoom call. It featured many professionals who work in the care system, like social workers and police officers.
It's really nice to have you guys here. I understand you're going to tell us a little bit about how Project Acorn is going and particularly talk to us about your People I Tolerate group and what we can be doing to support you. Is that right?
Right, we did intros, but basically the reason that I'm doing Acorn and I'm here is because when I was between the ages of 16 and 19, I was very isolated, lonely. No matter how many people I had around me, I was still isolated and lonely because of what I went through. And how I felt. So that's the reason that I'm doing it.
I'm doing it so we can hopefully change the system so people don't go through the same heartache that we had to go through at a young age.
So I think it's fair to say both Lou and Ree are care leavers living in Plymouth currently.
I'm still a care leaver, but I'm now 25, so...
You'll see these posters, they're all over the building. I had a bit of a flurry last week with...
The hard work and promotion of the group eventually paid off. We checked in with Irit a week before the group started.
So Project Acorn is about to commence running People I Tolerate groups next week. So that means that the young people we've been working with to design these groups are now going to be leading them. And it's really exciting. We've got 9 young people that are signed up for the first group, which has been really logistically nightmarish to organize with COVID restrictions. It's positive that we've got people wanting to come. I think when you're really close to something, it can be hard to see the wood from the trees.
Bear in mind, all of this was happening in the context of COVID-19, in the summer of 2021. This created additional challenges on top of what was already a tricky project. The good news was that the summer group was going ahead, if at slightly reduced capacity. And the young people were excited and raring to go.
Okay, so it's Tuesday, 27th of July, and it's 11:30. And today we're going to be meeting with some young people that want to get involved with the project, get involved with the group. And we're going to talk to them and hopefully get them excited for the group. I'm feeling kind of excited because I actually know a couple of the people I've met outside in other groups. So it's going to be exciting to see them again and excited to see how they feel about it. It's going to be good.
Right, Ree, what are we doing this week?
This week we're meeting young people, finally, and we're going over our session plans that we all completed together.
How do you feel about meeting young people this week?
Buzzing.
Are you?
I actually am. I'm really excited.
What are your hopes and fears around meeting the young people?
My hopes that they like us, want to get involved in the group, see what we're trying to do, and that it would benefit them. Fears. I've not really got any fears as such, more just the fact of hoping that they don't feel like it's just another group and that they don't want to be involved because of the fact of the fear of anxiety and, you know, stuff like that.
And so, After all the hurdles and challenges, at the end of July, People I Tolerate was ready to rock and roll.
Okay, so this is it. We're doing it. It's finally happening.
Let's grab another balloon. For God's sake, who's got the ball? Who picked the ball?
Is that big enough?
Yeah.
That was one of the first group get-togethers in which Em hosted a session on life hacks. The activities were enjoyable, but the team realised that the main benefit for the young people taking part wasn't in the activities per se. The main benefit was being given a space to be themselves and to be in the company of other young people who are also care experienced, getting to know each other and having fun.
As a group, I demonstrated some life hacks and they all got to go have a go at doing it. And then I talked through some other life hacks that they can use at home. I think it's going relatively smoothly, or as smooth as it can go. I think sometimes people are a bit hyper, but I think that's the nature of the group. Like, they're kind of here to kind of let off steam and here to kind of be themselves around each other. So if we do try and police that, it's just going to make things worse. It's going to make people uncomfortable. So I think just allowing them to be themselves and allowing them to kind of blow off steam, run around, obviously safely. But yeah, it's definitely having a good impact because people seem to get along with each other, and I know how much that just being able to talk to someone or be able to hang out with someone, it can have such a big effect, especially on someone that's care experienced because they may not have those connections. So being able to go to a place where they can make those connections, it does a lot more than people think. For me, I often have like a problem with confidence and a problem with anxiety. And I think I've surprised myself a bit with this because I always thought I was like a bit quiet and I wouldn't be able to do this sort of thing because I wouldn't be able to take charge. But I just felt a bit more at home at this sort of thing. I think it's partially because I know like I relate to some of the young people. So I think that it's kind of, I'm more comfortable in this sort of scenario. So that kind of helped me a lot. It's helped me gain my confidence.
What's happening right now in Project Acorn?
Everything. We've done 3 sessions so far. So we've had 1 session on...
intros, really, wasn't it? Yeah, meet and greet. The second session was movie nights, which went really well. I think that even though some people didn't really want to be in on the film, they still came and they still wanted to have conversations like outside of the film. Very positive. And then there was a session yesterday that was life hacks, and apparently they had loads of fun with that. I think that it's going really well. I think that it's got to the point that we know that it's working for what we put it there for, and the whole point is to reduce social isolation and loneliness, and that is what it's doing. So they're coming, they're wanting to come, we've got some of them that are pushing themselves to come because they know that they need to get out and socialise. You know what I mean? So I think that that's exactly what we put it there for, is what it's working for.
Why do you think it's helping?
I think because we're all care experienced, it helps. So they know that their situation isn't going to be judged by one another, as well as by us. So they know that we're all care experienced. And then obviously they know that you guys are staff, like that you work with care experienced all the time. So I think to them that makes it more of a safe space to them. They know that they can talk about stuff that's going on, maybe at home, maybe in foster placements, but depending on where they are. But they know that they're not going to be judged by certain things. And we do talk about it. Like, I've had conversations with young people, like in the kitchen where, you know what I mean? We've just had a conversation about care and being in care. And you wouldn't have that if it was just a normal youth group. Mm. You know what I mean? This is because it's run by care experience and it's for care experience. It makes a big difference.
And what do you hope at the end? There's 3 weeks to go.
Yeah.
What do you hope the young people will leave this with?
I'm hoping that they leave knowing that they could speak to one another outside, that they can, like, their connections that they've made in this group don't just end, because they all seem to have got pretty good connections. I'm hoping that they know that, obviously, in any form, care experienced or not, there shouldn't be judgments, and that if they wanted to speak about their life in care, what they've been through, what they're going through, that they should know they could speak to anybody, whether we are care experienced or they're not care experienced, you know what I mean, and know that they could speak to them and not have to feel like they're going to be judged because of care. And I'm hoping that they leave knowing that there is a lot of people in care despite what you might think. Like, I grew up thinking that I was the only one for so long, whereas now these things are around and put in place, like what we're doing now, so that people know, actually, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people that are in care and in the same boat.
The young people running the group learned new skills and felt like they made a difference. But what about the young people attending? Here's one of the attendees sharing what she's been doing and the impact it's had on her summer.
We've been doing loads of activities, getting to know each other and helping one another, being part of a group.
What made you want to take part in this group? What made you want to come to this group?
Well, I had nothing else to do, so I thought, why just not tag along to it?
As a care experienced young person, is it hard to find things to do?
Yeah, it is. It really is. I've been struggling recently and I'm trying to get stuff done, but I'm finding it really hard to get it done.
So were you worried about joining this group?
No, I was fine. I was up for it. All I wanted to do is to get to know people. Well, get to know people and being around them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't here?
Nothing. I'll just be in bed until a certain time and then I'll be in my room. That's it.
Other than a fun time, what does this group give you?
It gives me more confidence in speaking more because I've recently been quiet for 3 days. And I've been going through such a rough time and I can't deal with like a certain amount of noise. So it just helps me try and chill out and try and get myself together. Yeah.
Have you enjoyed it?
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is it you love about it?
I love meeting new people and being around people that I actually know.
Is it helpful to spend time with other care experienced people?
Yes, it is. I find it easier for people that's been in care to know their background, so then they can know my background.
Yeah.
We can try and tag along with each other.
They all had loads of fun, and the young people attending found it made a difference to their life. And while the young people had a great summer, learnt new skills and made new friends, we do need to ask two questions. What did we learn from this project? And how do we take those learnings to make wider change? Firstly, the learnings. There were three key takeaways that Karen and Neerit recognised.
One thing that young people told us was, you know what? It doesn't really matter what we're doing together. We had this whole program planned, you know, 1 week we're going to be doing life hacks. 1 week it's Casino Royale. 1 week it's movie day. That's great. They're fine. They don't mind doing all these things. But actually, where does connection happen? If you think about your own life, you don't necessarily connect to someone while you're doing the task. You connect when you're having those in-between chats, when you're making a cup of tea in the kitchen, when you're sitting down for lunch. And we saw that some young people wanted to come in 2-3 hours earlier to hang out and just spend time in the space. The way that you reduce loneliness is allowing people to just have that in between time chat, and that's where those relationships and friendships flourish.
So it wasn't about the big activities. It was about creating an environment for those friendships to thrive. That's what tackling loneliness and isolation looks like. Secondly, the planning for the project took a lot of time and was quite a lot of work for the young people, as Em explains.
Delivering was the best part of it, I think.
What made it the best part of it?
Just be able to see the difference it made. Like, see the difference, actually making a difference to, like, directly to young people. It was kind of like a means to an end sort of thing. Like, it was nice to see the end results. Although the planning was a little bit boring sometimes. But I knew that was going to happen, like, that's going to happen, but...
The young people that attended Acorn wanted to make a change. They wanted to design a service, but they didn't really want to drill down into what some of those foundations were that you need to be able to run a project. For example, session plans and risk assessments. Like, we had to do food hygiene, and that took months to get all of them through. And it, what it did was it changed the dynamics. And then I became kind of like quite authoritarian. We need to get this done. We need to get this done. That's not where I wanted to be. It's not where they wanted to be. So I think moving forward, what we would do is we would definitely do co-design.
Irit explains how the project could go forward in the future in a way that would demand less of the young people, but still include them in the designing process.
I don't necessarily think that co-production is the right way going forward. I think that we could, Karen and I have been talking about maybe there's something that is more about bringing young people together for a shorter period of time that's about some kind of social action. And it's a project and it's got some structure and it's a way for them to build on their interests or explore interests, and they don't have the pressure on their shoulders of changing the system. You know, it's a lot of weight to carry. It's completely professionalized language as well. Even just reducing loneliness for other young people is a long pressure too. It's very emotional, the process, because when you pitch something like this, you have to give a certain level of definition. And we pitched a 2-year co-production program that's about reducing loneliness. The problem is still there. We're testing at the moment whether a certain way of doing it works. But in order to keep iterating, which is part of the design process, which is where you use like testing and learning, you constantly have to confront your own assumptions. You constantly have to be like, well, actually, is co-production the right way? You know, is that like, or is it actually about investing in this over here and this over here? Because all we can really do is listen to what's really in front of us. And that's, I find that confronting and can feel like failure. But I actually think that it's really important to talk about this stuff and kind of fold in reflective practice all the time into this work, because that's probably one of the big things about why young people are failed so often, that we just keep on flogging a dead horse without reflecting on what's working and what's not, and making time to reflect.
So back to our wider questions in this series. How do we make large-scale change to the care system? How can the learnings from projects such as Project Acorn be recognised nationally? And how can we go from making change locally to making change to government policy?
So I think for the young people that attended Pitt and Acorn, it made change. It didn't make a systems change. I think the learning can be used to inform policy change.
In our next episode, we explore what policy change looks like and how it can help to combat loneliness, isolation, and other challenges care experienced young people face. We'll also zoom out to look at the upcoming independent review of the system across England, and at what else needs to be changed to create better outcomes for the young people involved. Until then, thank you for listening, and make sure you subscribe to our podcast via your favourite podcast provider. Leave us a review, and stay tuned to Heard and Not Seen.